Small Biz America.
This is Small Biz Spotlight, featuring up-close interviews with small business leaders and entrepreneurs across America. And now, here's your host, David Wolf.
When it comes to anything that's heard, our guest on this segment knows what small business can sound like. David Rosenblatt has spent the last 20-something years in almost every aspect of the sound and music industry as a sound engineer, composer, music producer, sound editor, and recording mix engineer. He's the founder and owner of DRM Productions, Inc. His company provides comprehensive audio post-production for documentaries, feature films, episodic television, as well as TV and radio commercials and music projects with clients including PBS, HBO, MTV, HDNet, The History Channel, Think Film, New Films International, and many others. He's worked with a wide variety of music artists such as Herbie Mann, Freddie Fender, the Death Ray Davies, Everclear, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Alan Holdsworth, Cheap Trick, the Flaming Lips, Maynard Ferguson, Brave Combo, and the children's hero, Barney the Dinosaur. Joining us on the line from their studios in Dallas, Texas, is David Rosenblatt. David, welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing well, sir. For those in our audience who are less familiar with the matters of production and the business, this is essentially a niche to B2B business, isn't it? What does a company like yours do?
Well, we provide what, in generally, what most people call post-production sound or post-production audio, and it covers a wide gamut of areas. For film and television, we provide all the sound effects editing, dialogue sweetening, creative sound design, which is my main forte, as well as music composition. We don't always do all of those for a project, but we can do it all. We can take a project from, you know, start to finish. Whereas it's the difference of being on location audio is different, where you're like on a set of a movie or a television show and somebody's recording the audio. We actually get that audio and then add lots of things to it. Many people may not realize, but many people do, that in films that you see, television shows and stuff, at least 90% of the audio that you're hearing has been added in the studio. And sometimes 100%. We just recently are finishing a film project where we actually replaced all of the dialogue.
Wow.
So it covers a lot of aspects of sound. And we do a lot of radio as well. So we deal with commercials, documentaries for television, and as well as pure music projects, either creating them from scratch or recording and mixing and producing artists. So I've found, and especially in the market, we're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, being specialized is great, but being diversified is even better.
Interesting. If you would, give us a quick and if possible, not too technical tour of the business, you know, both from a physical resource standpoint and then also from the standpoint of employees, freelancers, and human resources.
Okay. Well, I have a studio and that comprises two rooms where we can record, manipulate, and mix audio. And everything now is computerized. We use what's called digital audio workstations. They're Mac, based on a Mac platform using Pro Tools software, if anyone's heard of it. And I also have a recording space that we record either music or sound effects or voices, whatever needs to be recorded into either room as well. And in my situation, I'm a small business, I have myself and another full-time mixer editor that works for me, Kevin Brown, as well as a couple of other freelancers, one part-time person, John Dufalo, who's there quite a bit, actually. And so we vary, depending on the project, I'll bring in more people. If it's like a large movie project, we'll bring in several other editors and work on it as well. Because I have other workstation capability. I have a home studio as well, so.
Okay. All right. So it's a pretty scalable model in terms of based on the project's needs.
Yes, exactly.
Over the years, you've made a transition from freelancer or employee to becoming a small business owner. I just wanted to dig in a little bit deeper into the entrepreneurial spirit here. Give us a sense of you know, your own career development path, and then ultimately, what led to your decision to start your own business? What were some of the deciding factors or motivations there?
Probably my stubbornness as far as running, just the way I like to run my own life and business and control my own schedule and whatnot. But as a freelancer, you got to remember it's sort of the evolution of the industry as it's gone over the years. in the audio industry as well as the video industry, the equipment costs have dropped with the advent of digital audio workstations. And so to run a large studio in the past was a massive undertaking financially. And today you can incorporate a number of different technologies into the studio, and actually there are more capabilities for entrepreneurs to actually have their own businesses. And I think it was basically being able to say, I want to run this type of system, and the way I want to set it up, I need to have my own studio to do this the way I want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of how it formed that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the need for it. I wasn't getting the type of work I wanted as a freelancer all the time. And I saw the need for me to set up my own facility that comes along with myself.
Yeah, right. It's an appendage to your skill set. How has the landscape of the sound music production business changed since you first got into it, both from the business perspective and maybe a little bit about some of the technological advances you've observed?
Well, from a business standpoint, if in the audio business, if you were running a studio, you were you had to, as I might have mentioned before, it was a huge financial undertaking, as well as equipment investment, and you're using obviously tape based large equipment. I've run the gamut. I've run them all from all the different technologies myself. But
yeah.
And the model is different in that now there are more places to do things. More facilities that have more capabilities. But in business model-wise, I think there were fewer places, but the music industry was a lot different, too, at the time. Most people associate recording studios with music projects, so I'll stick to that for a moment. That whole landscape has changed as well with the advent of digital downloads and people being able to get their music out and heard by more people. The major label business, as you probably know, has become a completely different animal and is ceasing to exist in a lot of cases. And so
right.
It was more selective back then. I thought that when I started, I was going to stay sitting in front of a large console for my whole career. Hey, here I am, you know.
Yeah.
In a large studio, but that changed quickly. And I think it's actually, in some ways, it's harder, in some ways, it's easier now. Before, you had to be pretty lucky to get a job in the business, actually, in the audio business,
okay.
As well as quite skilled. And have really good people skills as well.
Right. You're dealing with artists, particularly on the music side, the pure music side of the business, and the temperaments of artists and all of those things. And these folks are your clients in those cases, so I'm sure it's a delicate balance.
Yes, it is. It is a balance. That also applies to movie producers and ad agencies as well, because we deal with all of them as clients. I think I look for in somebody who, if I'm going to be using another editor or mixer working on a project other than myself, I definitely look for their communication skills as quite important. Obviously, technological skills are important too, knowing how you're doing it, being able to express that and actually accomplish what a client wants is and do it in an efficient and friendly way is very important.
We're visiting with David Rosenblatt. He's the founder and CEO of DRM Productions, otherwise known as Surreal Sound Incorporated. That website, www.drm-sirreelsound.com. I know you're sitting geographically in a specific market that would be the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Yes.
But just from your sense of things, and particularly in light of the recession we're dealing with, what have your observations been about advertising expenditures and the willingness for advertisers to spend money on real production for commercials, documentaries, or what have you?
It has changed a little bit, especially in the last year. But it's evolved in a way that they're doing less large projects, always looking for the bottom line, trying to get more for their money.
Yeah.
And so we're having to change the way we do things sometimes. We're not doing as large music packages or sound design packages for commercials anymore. And Dallas-Fort Worth, as you know, is a big commercial hub, relative to its amount of film and television work, but there's all of it. But I think just budgets have dropped, and people are trying to do more for less. Is basically what it is. You kind of have to go with the flow there, and just be able to. And being diversified really helps. I mean,
sure.
I may be working on a sound design for a motion picture one day, then recording a voiceover for someone's voice, automated attendant for their business. The next,
It does run the gamut. Yeah.
Yes, it does. Exactly.
I was speaking to a guy that's in the mastering business in New Mexico not too long ago on a Spotlight series. And he mentioned that the fact that the large labels no longer exist actually presents an opportunity, because he gets a chance to make the home studio stuff sound a lot better, where there's no label anymore to help them do that. Are your observations similar?
Very much so. I do a little bit of mastering myself, being diversified for anything that's heard, right?
But right.
Yeah, I do. That's true, because more people can get their music out there, and it's really important to make it sound as good as it can on a number of different mediums. Now, we do have a lot of lo-fi stuff going out there now. I mean, we beat our heads against the wall trying to make stuff, sound as good as we possibly can, and we have all these higher resolution sample rates and whatnot. But
yeah.
now, you're doing all this so somebody can play it on their MP3 player, probably 80% of the time. So, but It is good that there's a lot of stuff coming from project studios that that we can actually try to make sound as good as possible. So I think it's definitely been educative.
What does the future look like for DRM? Is it more of the same and hopefully in greater volumes, or do you see any sort of paradigm shifts for your business model?
We're still trying to get more film post work. We really enjoy working on the long form.
I've
got several documentaries I'm doing that are either going out on PBS or a regional PBS stations, and I have a couple of films that we're really trying to pursue that. And there is with the state legislature here in Texas awarding more robust film incentive program, I think we may see more film work in Texas again, like it was in the 80s and 90s. And I hope to grow with that. If there's more film work, logically, we might have more post-production film work. So I'm seeing it going that way.
Yeah.
And I've not ruled out the fact of even opening a studio in another city.
Sure.
One thing I'm looking toward.
I was going to ask you about growth in any business, really. As you were starting with maybe a single room and just yourself, and you made decisions along the way to do something growthful, either by expanding into a new location, upgrading equipment. How do you suggest small business owners manage the decision-making process around when and how to grow?
You have to be forward-thinking, but at the same time, is you can't overestimate what kind of work that you're going to have. I would say if you've been successful in a particular area for some time, look toward growing that a bit more and say, yes, I'm doing this much work in this, and those projects are telling me I need this equipment or I need this size of a room. I decided when we moved into our last location about 5 years ago that I needed a space that I could actually mix films in and also hold more clients in, because that's one thing when we moved from our other place, I was getting a little bit of feedback saying we didn't have enough room for all the people to come in and hear stuff. So I made concessions in that way, and it's paid off in some, definitely has.
Yeah.
But you can't overdo it either. I mean, there's so many people that get so cash-strapped that they overestimate what they're going to be doing, and then they end up going out of business. So
you
have to keep a balance.
That's good stuff. Mm-hmm. We've been visiting with David Rosenblatt. He's the founder and CEO of DRM, Surreal Sound Incorporated. That website, www.drmprod.com. Did I notice you're working on a different site as well? Or
yes, it's just evolving. It's one page right now, folks, so it's got a ways to go.
Right.
It is www.drm-surreal-sound.com.
And also available at 972. Oh, actually, you might want to give the phone number. It's different than what I have here.
My studio number is 214-752-5000. Easy number to remember.
752-5000. That's area 214. Our guest has been David Rosenblatt. He's the principal and head sound designer, chief engineer, and owner of DRM Surreal Sound Incorporated. www.drmprod.com. P-R-O-D as in production.com. David, thanks for joining us on the program.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to Small Biz Spotlight, up-close interviews with small business leaders and entrepreneurs across America. For more information about our guests or to subscribe, visit smallbizamerica.com.
Small Biz.
Small Biz America.